When the family whose roof was taken off, when they went to the insurance company, you know what they said to them? They said, "We don't cover acts of God." The insurance companies never told you that? Yeah. By the way, that just went, that was an original joke, I came up with that. I thought it would be funnier. Well, maybe I'm not as funny as I am. Okay. This Wednesday is what? No, it's my birthday. What a day to have a birthday. It's going to be a dry, fasting birthday. So, there you go. 46 won't be very easy. Today's gospel passage, and in fact, all the readings, when you have a dramatic healing like that, a mind is automatically pulled to this fabulous, fantastic event in the life of this paralytic. Can you imagine the liberation he experiences? And a mind also goes to an event like that because in our own hearts there is a desire to experience God in some fabulous ways. So I read the reading carefully and I read it a couple of times. It seemed to me that even though the paralytic draws my attention, there are other very deep things going on over in these readings. I read it again. The very last phrase and sentences of the first reading, God says, "It is I who wipe out for my sake your sins. Your sins I remember no more." It just gripped me. I've been there when I needed God to tell me, "It's okay. Another chance. I give you my grace." And it felt as if God was lifting me up, healing me, giving me a new beginning. I've been there. I know what that means. And then the paralytic is brought, and the very first statement that Jesus makes to him is, "Son, your sins are forgiven." His healing comes later. "Son, child, your sins are forgiven." And I've been there myself. In the confession, when I've been to the confession and one of the priests says to me, "Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace." So I thought maybe the readings are drawing our attention. We're just before Lent here, and maybe the readings are drawing our attention to this concept and to the reality of sin and the forgiveness of God. So I thought I'll focus on that for today. The context of the first reading makes the theme of today's readings even more obvious. Now you and I know that the exile in Babylon, 40 years. The restoration then from exile back into the promised land and the rebuilding of the temple. These events were milestones in the history of the people of Israel. Today's reading is talking about the restoration. When God says, "Your sins I will remember no more," what he's really pointing out to is, I am restoring you back to the promised land, but I'm restoring you as your sins are forgiven. In other words, the exile and everything that happened after that is considered a consequence of sin. And the people of Israel had sinned. They violated the covenant. They made political alliances with nations that God refused to give them the permission to do. They had allowed social injustices to fester in the society. They had worshipped other gods beside God. So the exile was a consequence of sin. And when God restores them back, God says to them, it's all in the past. I'm going to do something new with you. Your sins I forgive. Your sins I remember no more. In the gospel reading, once again, and I spoke about this last week, the Old Testament connection between personal misfortune and sin. God first says to the paralytic, God says, I forgive you. Child, your sins are forgiven. And once he's forgiven in his heart, that's when the rest of the healing in his body takes place. And remember, in the gospel reading, the controversy is not about the healing. The controversy is about how can this man forgive sins? So this is why I'm really saying that today's readings are really about sin and forgiveness. So when Jesus says to this man, your sins are forgiven, I feel that the readings, the gospel reading, comes a full circle back to the first reading. Because God had said, it is I who wipe away your sins. And here comes God, right in the midst of the people, as a human person, standing there, telling this paralytic, it is I. The Son of Man has the authority. God has the authority to say to you, your sins are forgiven. Three points for us today that revolves around sin and forgiveness. Here's my first point. When I often take classes with people, sometimes First Holy Communion or Confirmation or RCIA, one of the things that I ask people is, how do we define sin? And the normal answers revolve around, it's doing something wrong against God. Or it's breaking the commandments. Very often for people also, sin revolves around sexual morality. So it seems to me that the general understanding of people seems to be that if I can stay clear of sexual sins and don't miss Sunday Mass, then I can feel pretty good about myself. If I can keep my mind pure, my life healthy, I can go to Mass on Sunday, then I'm okay. But from the biblical concept, from the biblical point of view, sin is much broader. Sin is understood as a rupture in our relationship on three levels. First, relationship with God. Secondly, relationship with the community. And third, relationship with your own self. And that is why the people of Israel were sent into exile, not merely because they sinned against God. But sin is considered infidelity to the covenant they made, and the covenant covered a broad spectrum of the people of Israel and their life. Social, political, religious, everything. Sin is a broad area of our life. So for example, in the Old Testament, one could be sexually pure or morally pure, but if they did not take care of the widow or the orphan and the foreigner, they're still in sin. Morally, they could be pure and they could go to the temple for worship, but if they did not take care of the poor, they were still in sin. Or if they took care of the poor but worshipped other gods, or they did not bring their first fruits to the temple before God, they were still in sin. And of course, their relationship with God and their relationship with society, if it did not come from the integrity of their lives, then they were considered hypocritical. So that hurts your relationship with your own self. So I think in the readings, just before Lent, Christ is asking us to become more conscious of how sin enters into our lives and how we may be ignorant of what sin and holiness might be. We have to keep all these three relationships in focus. Our worship and our prayer relationship with God. Taking care of the poor, those in need, taking care of the needs of my community, the church, my relationship with others. And then my relationship with myself, that I'm a person of integrity, that I'm a person who practices justice. Think about it this week. Secondly, in society today, there is also an effort to define the good person rather loosely. So sometimes you hear conversations like, "Father, I don't hurt anybody. I'm a good person. I don't have to go to church to be a good person. I can pray at home. I'm a good person." And I'm sure there are a lot of good people who do not go to church or perhaps are not even Christian. That's okay. There's no argument with that. However, Christian life is not a defensive living where each day we survive hoping that we don't hurt anybody. And as long as we don't hurt anybody, we are good people. Christian life is more than that. Christian life is the pursuit of virtue and of good, of God and holiness. It's not a defensive life. It's an active life. We actively seek God and holiness, goodness and virtue. So Jesus is available to the people in this home, and crowds were there. And Jesus could have just said, "Well, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm getting out of here." No, Jesus stays there. He's actively involved in the lives of people, bringing healing, bringing forgiveness, bringing the presence of God. And that's Christian life. That's a virtuous life. So this week, I'm suggesting, let's not just try to be good people. Let's try to be people with Christian virtue that actively seek God and community and holiness. And my third point. And it's very funny that this happened when I was writing this homily. This is on Friday morning. You know, we had the silent retreat yesterday. So Friday evening, I'm getting this homily down so I can go for the silent retreat, come back and preach this homily to you this morning. So it was a crazy, hectic week. And I'm frantically trying to put my thoughts together, and everything is flowing well. And then I got a phone call from downstairs. One of the staff says, "Father, this man here, we don't know him. There's a man here. He really wants to see a priest." And I'm saying, what timing, you know? I'm just beginning to, and I scratched my head. I said, "Oh, well, okay, I'll be there." So I am all set to come and tell him, you know, could we meet? You know, I'm busy. I have my calendar. Can we get a time so we can talk together? Well, I go there, and one look at his face, I knew I couldn't do that. He really needs to get something off his chest. So I pulled him aside, took him to the office, and I said, "Tell me." And he's this guy's, tears in his eyes. I mean, he's ready to just bawl. He's probably in his 70s, 80s, I don't know. Well, if you're here and if I got your age wrong, don't kill me for that. But, you know, sometimes when he's 70, 75, this guy's sitting there, and he said, "I got to confess this. I so got to confess it." And he pours his sin out. And I said to him, "No matter what it is, please remember, God's love is far greater than your sin. God's love is far greater than our sin." And I felt like on that day I was like the presence of God to this man who desperately needed to be healed. He was like this paralytic who came desperately seeking God's. And for me to be able to lay my hands on him and say, go, your sins are forgiven, go in peace. This man, his eyes welling up in tears, he heads out and he's peaceful one more time. Folks, this stuff happens even today. Yes, Jesus forgave this man so many years. It happens today. Because we believe in a God whose love is far, far greater than our sins. I will remember your sins no more. For my sake, I wipe out all your sins. Son, I forgive you. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. This stuff happens today and it's real. You and I know sin is real. But so is God's forgiveness and healing. It's real. So as Lent approaches, I'm suggesting that we become very sensitive to sin. Relationship with God, relationship with others, relationship with ourselves. And if we feel the need for healing this Lent, don't just give up stuff that you will get back to after Easter. But let your life be made holy by God this Lent. If you need healing, come to the sacrament. Because God is a God who forgives. People of God said,